case of the various...
Welcome back to Encourage Radio. We are here and happy, possibly Thursday morning. Yes, our podcasts are in your ears, ready to go on Thursday morning. And so we are excited to be with you today. So what are we talking about?
Well, first of all, I mean, yeah, we want to welcome you guys. We do pray that it finds you on its release date, on
yes.
a happy, happy Thursday. And we think it's by design, too, that it comes out before the weekend.
Yes.
Is sort of the hope. So you're encouraged before going into weekend, maybe no matter what the weekend involves. But obviously, no matter when you listen to this and this episode, you can listen at your car, the car line at school. You may be, you know, killing some time at a baseball tournament, a softball tournament, dance tournament. Who knows when? But we pray that it, you know, obviously blesses you. Well, we've been talking a lot about marriage. A lot lately, and normally around this time of year, at least when the podcast comes out, this episode comes out. Normally around this time of the year, we're trying to schedule like a marriage conference. We might even have one in the fall, and so we want to make sure that this time of year we do a little bit more intentionality and talk about marriages. So kind of, you know, if it's okay, kind of want to go back to the basics.
Yes,
I mean really do, and I mean we could maybe title this the basics of your marriage. But you see the title, if you're listening, it's Elements That Make Your Marriage Stronger. And there literally are just some really, really basic things. And we sort of want to review them because often as life does what life does, it robs us of being reminded of what the basics are. We sort of get lost in the complexities and the extras, if you will, of life. And we want to come back to that.
Yeah, and I think there is that trend that people are wanting to go back to the basics.
Oh, really?
You hear
yeah.
more about simple living. You hear, you know, of course, there was the tiny houses and things like that.
Yeah.
But people are wanting to go back to simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
What is important in family? And we have several Waterstone families that have really taken some big steps
yeah.
to say family comes first.
Yes, they have.
We have been on a treadmill. We're not going in a good direction. And having the strength to be able to stop
right.
sometimes takes more strength than to say go.
Right. Absolutely. Right. Aren't it just to push through and move
to
on?
To push
and
through
about it.
And yeah. move on.
No,
yes.
but to recognize to restart, like we've sort of drifted off the basics. Let's get back and put things into priority. And that's what we want to sort of, you know, dial in. But we also have so many, at least I've been doing a lot of weddings lately. So we obviously have a lot of folks that are newly married.
Yes.
And they've gone through the planning, and it's so wild. Like, no matter what size you plan the wedding, like, I'm just watching these couples, and it's so funny. The ones that come to me, and they're like, we're going to make this really small.
And I
pause, and I look at them, and they're like, what? And they're like, no matter how small, it's going to get big. And like, no, we're really. And I'm just telling you, like 30 minutes after the wedding and they're into the reception, they're like, man, this thing was big. but you can't help but make a big deal about it. And that's mm-hmm. okay. That there's a point to that. My point to that is that it's a big deal, but often we make more of a big deal about the day of than the days after.
Yes.
Like somebody says, often we spend more getting married than we do spend on staying married. The price that it takes to sort of revisit the basics and stay in touch. So let's just dive right into this. The Bible is very specific. We know the scriptures, Genesis 2:24, there a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, they shall become one flesh. Like, we know those things. And we're going to visit other scriptures. But I want to start out with this. I heard this statement years ago, and I've used it. I use it in premarital counseling and even marriage counseling. I heard this. Somebody said this. Our vowels, not ELS, our vowels are not what we will become in the future. Like when you're standing, you know, face to face, I will, you know, I will do this, you know, do this, and rich or poor, or sickness and health, like whatever vows you say, like I will be this to you, you will be this to me, like however you pledge. Often we're speaking as though we will become that in the future. Well, that is true, But your vows really are how you start.
Oh, yes.
Now, that sounds so basic. Some people are going, wait, Pastor Ron, I actually thought it was the opposite. Like, I thought, well, this is how we're starting. No, most people sort of think they're going to get to that point.
That is so true.
All right, you see what I'm saying? Like, they think they're going to get to that
point. For richer or poorer. Like, that's a future thing.
Yes.
Not necessarily. We're feeling that right now.
Exactly. But us planning, like, if I'm going to be there for the poorer, if I'm going to be there for the richer, if I'm going to be there for the healthier, if I'm going to be there for the sicker, like, if I'm going to be there, then what do I have to become like now? Like, we started this. So I tell folks that get married, and they're like, oh, we've been dating for 8 years. We feel like we know each other really well. And I say, what I'm about to say is not negative. It's going to sound like it's negative, but it's not. But you need to realize this. Something special and unique happens the day after you say, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've made now a covenant relationship and a covenant commitment where God is, you said before God, and God says, all right, now you're in this, right? And so now begins the process of developing and growing and becoming married. So your vows aren't something that you'll look back on at your 50th wedding anniversary and celebrate. Yeah, you will, should, but it's something that starts now. So what do we mean by that? Well, here's what it means. It means your vows come into operation in family. So we don't have kids yet. Well, you're a family now. The Bible literally said, and I tell couples that, I say that the Bible said that you became your own family unit. Genesis 2:24, shall leave father and mother and shall become a husband and wife. Like, that is a family unit now. Family doesn't necessarily qualify as I have one kid or two kids. A family is husband and wife, okay? So you've now become family. So your vows start to work in family. Your vows go to work in your job, right? No matter where you are, no matter what you do, like, your vows follow you in your interest. Your vows follow you in life. It's not just a moment on a day when you made a decision that you hope you will become. You started that process now. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so you have to learn, like, okay, now that we've started, it's almost like starting a job. Like, I tell folks that. I heard somebody say one time that a marriage license is really a work permit.
that is so,
like,
true.
Okay, what I just said on our wedding day was, I'm going to get to work on me. I'm going to get to work on you. We're going to get to work on us.
Oh, my Nelly. Sometimes what? I started thinking, well, the renovation takes a little longer than we thought because we were digging into the process and found some things behind the walls.
Yep, that's a good analogy.
We did not expect. So yeah. It's going to cost a bit more.
Yeah.
In order to get this fixed. And so many times, like you said, you know, we have to be willing to invest in those extras as we grow together.
Right. That's a great way to put it. So let's use that. Okay. Let's just go with that. So what happens is when you get into a renovate process, can we just use that analogy?
Yeah.
Let's just go with that. So when you get in that, we all have this idea of what the room's going to look like.
Yes.
At the end. So that's a perfect analogy. And all of a sudden, when the walls start coming down and you find things behind the walls, and then you find out, like, all the shows you used to watch, I'm like, is every one of these renovate shows scripted the same, where they're going to say, it's going to cost $10,000 and take 6 weeks, right? What is about 13 minutes into the episode, they all come out and say the same thing. Dun, dun, dun. We found something. And we're going to have to tell you that it's going to cost an extra $6,000 for the floor, $5,000 for plumbing. We found something in the brick wall, and it's not going to be 6 weeks. It's not going to be 12.
Yes.
Like, every renovate show says the same thing.
Yes.
And there was one show, I don't want to mention the name, but it was two twin brothers. They were sort of...
I knew you were about to say that.
You could script them to a T.
Though they wanted to let you know that things cost more than what you think.
I agree with that. Like, you said that, like, we were upstairs watching that one day, and I'm like, I know what they're going to say in like 5 minutes. They're going to say it's going to cost $20,000 more in 6 more weeks. Like,
yes.
It happens every episode.
Yes.
But your point was right. I think what they were trying to convey in that was exactly what we're trying to say, that the moment you get married, those vows weren't just something that you said, and they're not just something that happens automatically. Like, you've started the renovate process. And you have to be willing to invest the time and the commitment, and you've got to be willing to realize you married somebody that you may not know every area about them. And so there's going to come this, okay, it's going to take a little longer in this area. He has to grow here. She has to grow here. But your vows literally start that moment. So it's a difficult walk at times. And sometimes it feels like you're walking a tightrope. Sometimes it feels like it's the first time you've danced. Sometimes it feels like we've never renovated before, but I thought we had. Like, you know, all the things you think you knew about the person. Now, all of a sudden that you're in this covenant commitment, it becomes a little bit more than what you thought.
Yes.
Right? So let's talk about then, what are the elements that make your marriage stronger? Like, how do we go into the, borrow that analogy, how do we go into this renovate process? Because in order to become one flesh, parts of her have to be renovated. Parts of him have to be renovated in order for two houses to come together and become one house.
Yes.
There are things about my house that have to change in order to accommodate Raina's house. There are things about Raina's house. You get the analogy. All right. So what are the basic elements that you and I, those of us that are married, that make for a strong marriage? Let me give you, can we just give you six, and then we're going to tell you how to do it.
Okay. All right.
Here's six of them. Here's the very first principle. Always learn to pursue what builds, not what divides.
Yes.
So many marriages come in, so many couples come into marriage with their interest. Nothing wrong with that. Kayaking, golf, weightlifting, CrossFit, whatever. But often they don't come together with their interest. They come into a wedding with interest, but they don't come together. So they're all, in some respects, they're living separate lives. You know what I mean? Like they're not spending enough time with each other. And I think one of the greatest things they can do, and you and I, Raina, I think we do this well. I think most couples should get out and go kayaking together.
that's counseling in itself. Just learning how to paddle.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that call it the divorce boat.
That is so true, especially a canoe.
Yeah, a canoe is definitely that one's not good anyway.
No.
Learning how to just get in a kayak together and learn how to navigate that. But my whole point of that is learn to pursue things that build, not divide. Whether it's cooking, whether it's antiques, whether it's restoration, whether it's fishing, whether it's some people it's shopping, some people it's reading, some people it's coffee. But try to have, definitely have your own interests. Like you, if you like to golf, guys, girls, go play around a golf. But don't always be playing golf is my point.
Yes.
If your interest is shopping, don't always be shopping.
Because those foundational aspects of doing life together are going to carry over to when you have kiddos.
Yes.
So if you're not used to already doing life with your spouse, when your kiddos come, you're going to kind of be a little divided on which way I am supposed to go.
That's it.
Where's my investment supposed to go? Well, if your priority is already set on family with your spouse, then it's going to be more on family when you have kiddos.
Right.
And you're not going to have that division of, I had to give up this.
Right.
You know, because there are things that you and I both used to do on our own. And even while we were dating, we kind of didn't do those things as much just because, we just kind of changed. We started wanting to do life together.
Yes.
And that can go from the outside of the home as well as on the inside of the home.
Yes.
Taking care of your home, taking pride in your home and creating that haven at home takes both of you coming together. And so the earlier that you can learn that and do that and get those habits established, the easier it's going to be as you start building family on top of it. I was just having a little talk in the kitchen to a single young lady. I think she's in high school right now. But I was like, the sooner that you can learn how to do that laundry, you know, do more in your home instead of just cleaning your room, the easier it is going to be for you when you do get married. Those natural things of getting the laundry done, getting the house clean, things like that, are going to be a natural overflow, and then you can just work on those extra things that are going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect. So, it's not that you don't have hobbies or you don't have interest, but your marriage becomes your hobby.
Yes.
Absolutely. So here's another one. Learn how to become a completer, not a competer.
Yes.
This is how you make your marriage stronger. The Bible says the two shall become one flesh, that she is given and he as well is given as help meet. So you have to learn to sort of look at roles and responsibilities and be honest about who's stronger in certain areas, who's weak in certain areas, and learn how to complete your wife, and wives learn how to complete your husband. Because again, you're becoming one flesh. You can't be two independent pieces, if you will, and yet come together as one.
And yes, there are going to be times when your spouse is going to forget to order something on Amazon, yeah, or you're going to forget to do something. Be okay with having to pick up the slack and say, hey, did you, you know, get this ordered? Instead of, man, he forgot to get that ordered again.
Right.
If you start making your list negatively, it's going to become a negative thing. If you start making your list as a positive encouragement, then it's going to be something more working together.
Yeah, absolutely. So wait, I was supposed to actually order the air conditioning filters yesterday.
Yes, you were.
Okay, yeah. I just remember that now. Yeah. Wait, okay, I got it. I got you. I picked that. I'm just kidding. We work well on that together. All right, here's another one. Learn how to, listen, believe it or not, in your marriage, learn how to establish limits and boundaries.
Yes.
Limits of conversation, like when is a good time to talk, when is not a good time to talk. Learn to establish boundaries of, you know, like when I come home, I'm tired, just give me just a moment to sort of decompress. But then don't leverage that, right? Don't say that time of decompression can turn into 4 hours, you know, playing video games or something like that. But learn how to establish limits and boundaries that both of you, like, okay, as a couple, we're not going to go out and spend all of our time out. We need some time alone. We're not going to just always hang out with friends. We're going to spend time with one another. Like, establish those boundaries around you guys that will strengthen you all. If you're seldom together, you'll never really come together.
Yes.
And so many things can rob you of being together. Job, bills, kids, life, just in general, hobbies, interest, you know, things at home. So you have to learn how to place boundaries that will protect, almost like no trespassing signs around the property of your home. Like, certain things can come in and certain things can't come in, so that, you know, it protects your marriage, it protects your time, it protects your conversation. Because if not, how are you going to become one flesh? How are you going to become one household if it's always sort of a run of the mill and everything can run through and just ravage it? Now, you got to learn how to establish limits and boundaries, set standards. Have you ever thought about that? Like, set standards for your marriage, like what you want to become, like how to become better, like, to borrow another great analogy, Raina, like you said, like laundry. Like, how can we become better at taking care of our home? How can we become better at taking care of this? Like, what are some areas we can improve in each year and sort of set those standards? I don't know, like, your specifics or unique areas, but set standards of, I want our marriage to be better in communication. I want it to be better in this or that. And it's not so much highlighting weaknesses as we want to be stronger at this. Because to your point, Raina, as when we have kids, well, if we're already weak in so many areas, having kids isn't going to make you stronger.
Right.
It's going to only make weak what's already weak. It's going to make it weaker. And so you have to prepare yourself for that. And as we know, it's not just having kids, because now we've lived through almost every stage of with our children, in terms of getting them, you know, sort of married. Now we have one left, but you know what I mean? It's like we've walked through it. Now we're working with grandchildren. Now we're working with son-in-laws. Now we're working with families. Now we're working with marriages. You know what I mean? So we've learned that with each stage, we've had to grow.
Yes.
As our girls, you know, grew out of childhood and into adolescence, or from adolescence into sort of young adulthood and then into adulthood, we couldn't still treat them as adults as we did when they were preschoolers.
Right.
So we had to set standards. We had to set, okay, we need to be better communicators at this. We need to be better influencers at this. We need to know when to step in and when not to step in. That's what I mean.
Yes.
So here's another one. Learn how to divide duties and discuss roles. There's so many marriages that don't share the duties of, like, you know, I know I'm really good at this. Like, for instance, you know, you're better at pulling weeds and I'm better at wiping down counters.
Right.
You know what I mean? For example, there are things that you're better at and in and around the house and in and around with the family and girls than what I'm at. There are things that, talk about that and just say, in order to get things done this week, like, evaluate your week or even sometimes your day. And say, in order for us to accomplish what needs to accomplish, like, here's where we need each other. Like, there's so many couples that just don't talk about that. I literally met with a couple recently and they were like, he likes to go do this, but she likes to be in and do these things. And they were like, so how do we come together on this? And so I was like, well, you need to go out a little less and you need to come out a little more. Like, life's a dance, like middle school dance. Somebody has to step off the wall and you know, say, let's dance, let's do this. Does that make sense? Like, talk about duties and discuss roles, like literally converse on what's needed in order for us to get there.
But then there also needs to be a mutual respect.
Very much so.
Because, you know, one role, yes, one can have more stress than the other, but I just really think sometimes it's just different flavors.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's like, well, my job's harder than your job.
Oh, yeah.
And so just respecting each other in their time and the choices that they make with their time.
Right.
Like there are times whenever you're trying to squeeze in, trying to maybe, like for us in ministry, you're trying to serve others, yet serve your family, yet get work done. You know, you're just trying to spin different plates. So you and I kind of have to find that balance of what that looks like. And that may change daily.
Oh, yes.
But being respectful in each other's timetable, in that you don't make the other person feel guilty or you're not getting this done, and finding that balance in conversation to keep it on the positive rather than on the negative.
You know, I think Instagram and other social media outlets, honestly, I think they do. They listen to your conversations. I haven't had a lot of conversations about these things, but I know these are conversations that are being had. And I shared this with you the other day. I'm getting so many feeds or ads, or I don't know what you call them, Jacob, but I'm getting so many things on like social media that it's about what you just talked about, like a disrespect for the husband and always critiquing the husband and always disrespecting the wife and literally what you just said, like not coming together in these areas and what it does. I think we covered that in a previous episode of like, you know, like when we don't come together, like what you just said in so many words, like my day is worse than your day. And if we keep playing that my day is worse than your day, or I did this for you yesterday and now you need to do this for me today, the more we play that tug of war game, if you will, that's not healthy at all.
No.
But so that's what I mean by discussing the duties of the week and the roles. So you're sort of prepared. That sort of takes the air out of unexpected expectations.
Yes.
So if in my head I am in the shower and I'm working in my head only, this is going to be a long day. I have a lot of demands on me. I'm hoping I can get home by X time and I'll see if I can fix dinner. That's a conversation I'm having in my head, but I never tell you that.
Right.
5:30 rolls around. I'm on my way home. I'm like, all right, it's about what I thought. It's been a long day and wasn't able to fix dinner. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, me either. I'm just now leaving the office. So what happens to me? I'm like, what do you mean you're just leaving the office?
That is so true.
Right? What do you mean you're just now leaving the office?
Yes.
Because in my head, I knew my day was going to be long. I kind of thought you're going to be there ahead of me. And so nobody's going to be there to make dinner? Like, what's going on?
Right.
What happened? I only had that conversation in my head.
Mm. So true.
So if I can take that conversation out of my head, get out of the shower and say, hey, Raina, today's probably going to be a long day for me. Doesn't mean my day is going to be worse than yours. Who knows what the day holds? But it looks like I won't get home until 5:30. What are your expectations of your day? And then you're like, well, I'm hoping I can get out, but I have another long day as well. Okay. And so we talk about that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Versus if I only have that conversation in my head and you never know it, I'm sort of assuming that you know that I won't be home until 5:30. And then I walk in and dinner's not made and the kids aren't bathed and I can't go play Candy Crush or whatever those games are. You know what I mean? And then I explode. I'm like, what's going on? Right? Because I never brought you into that conversation. I never discussed today's duties. I never discussed today's roles, how we can support one another. It took the air out of the unexpected. And now we somewhat know what to expect, even though life does things differently, but now we know what to expect. And so keeping that expectation out there and communicated helps navigate what could have been like, my day is worse than your day. No, it wasn't. And then it turns into an argument. We go to separate rooms.
Yes.
No.
For 3 days.
For 3 days.
Yes.
Wow. Do some people do that?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, we usually do it for like 6 days. I'm just kidding, we don't. I was like, well, that's really short. I was just kidding, we do not. We do it for 3 minutes. But anyway, now here we go. So you say, how do we do this? So those are six great things. So how do we, incorporate that? Well, I'm going to give you right now the basic elements that pull together those six things.
Okay.
Number one, demonstrate your love.
Okay.
The Bible says a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back to conquer. When you do those things, what are you saying to your spouse? I got your back. You're saying, I'm here for you. I understand. It's a rough day. It's a tough day. I understand this is what the week looks like. Or you reiterate, well, these are the boundaries we've set in order to protect our time. Let's make sure that we follow through with that. You become a completer, not a competer. Mm. You're saying, what can I do to help? You're now pursuing what builds, not divides. Literally, that's what they're saying. Like, you're standing back to back with one another. You're not separate from one another in saying, my day's worse than your day. You should have known. Why were you not there for me? All those negative statements that you talked about, those come out. No, the Bible says demonstrate your love. Like, you're literally standing back. The Bible says three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Well, who's the third person in that? If there's a husband and wife.
Of course, Christ.
Boom. Go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. The Bible says it's Christ that gave us that marriage. And so you have to include Christ in all of that, right? And say, God, we can't do this without you. It's going to be a long day. It's going to be a hard week. The things we're going to face. Here's number two, evaluate your commitment. So demonstrate your love. These are the basic elements of basic elements of marriage, right? Demonstrate your love. Evaluate your commitment. Genesis 2, 24, and they shall become one flesh. It doesn't happen automatically.
No, it's work.
It's work, and it changes. Like we discussed, I think at Frontsight, to the men, we shared that your body, your cells sort of like become new every so many days, and your muscular structure becomes new so many years. Well, your marriage is going to be new after so many months, after so many years, after so many days, after so many events. Yeah. And so you're going to change. And so it's a matter not if you're going to change, but how you're going to change in becoming. The Bible says, and they shall become. That word is an active, dynamic word.
And if you really allow Christ to work in your life, you're going to become something really cool.
Well, there you go.
You know, and I think it's just that daily surrender and trusting that God is at work. And like we talk about, and joining him there in his work.
Right.
But God has given you your spouse. If you make Christ the center of that, you know and you can trust
right.
that using those maybe conflicts, using those situations to grow you personally.
Right.
You know, so many times instead of begrudging what you're going through, realize like, you know what? This is going to make me a better wife. This is going to make me a better dad.
Right.
If I can get this, because trust me, if you're dealing with it with your marriage, I know many times you're dealing with this in all areas of your life.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
that's
and so many
point.
Times we forget about that because a lot of these principles could be used from expectations, like you've said,
right.
even in the workplace.
Yes.
If you expect, you know, share what you expect. But
right.
yes, I do believe that.
Yes, 100%. Here's the last one. Celebrate your marriage. What do I mean by that? Like, there's enough during the day that you and I, we're beat down. The world beats us down. Expectations beat us down. Commitments, ourselves, we beat ourselves up, down, if you will. Just a lot happens. Every once in a while, you just need to just stop and just go back to the day you were married and why you got married. Like, celebrate that. Like, remember, yeah, you know what? Life does a lot. Life changes. Life changes us. There's a lot on us. And you know what? Sometimes you just got to laugh. Sometimes you just got to, you know, be okay with where you're at. You know what I mean? Like, we get so bogged down in, I'm not what I thought I would be. You're not what I thought I would be. We're not where. Like, my day was worse than your day, and you didn't reckon that. We get so caught up in the things that aren't versus the things that are.
Yes.
You know, like right before we started this episode, Raina said, we get to do this. Like, you know, like we get to record episodes. We get to come together and record. What a blessing it is to do that. That's what I mean.
Yes.
So literally, like, how do you practice those six things? Demonstrate your love, evaluate your commitment, and celebrate your marriage. Who needs to go out and celebrate their marriage tonight? Like, right now, you know what? Take your wife out to Taco Bell.
Stop it.
I'm just kidding. Not Taco Bell. Somewhere cleaner, somewhere better. Maybe it's just on the back porch. It's the back porch.
Back porch is nice.
With some cashew milk ice cream. Something. I don't know. Have fun is what we're saying. Yes. Don't let the devil rob you of joy. These are the basic elements of marriage that are going to make your marriage stronger. Do not deviate from them, or you will not become what you need to become. And then you'll fall victim to the enemy's attacks and stay in the self-pity role. Don't do that.
No.
Have fun.
It's not worth it.
Have fun. Absolutely. Go home and go, you know, right now, wives, go home and just love on your husband.
Stop it.
You know what? Right now, wives, just go home.
That's good.
You know, my Nelly.
Good old foot massage.
Stop
it. I'm just kidding. No, I'm just having fun here in this moment. We love you guys. I hope that encourages you.
Funny.
I hope that encourages you guys. Be blessed. We love you. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.